until you bend over, and then you just see your underwear, so it's no big deal.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, Tony Miller returns to the beautiful Trailer Studios. This time, we're going to be talking about proselytizing, religious and non-religious.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick, joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
Hi.
And it's Renaissance Festival time. We're recording in the beautiful Trailer Studios.
Yay.
And that must mean it's time for us once again to talk to our good friend, Tony Miller. Hi, Tony.
Hi.
It's like once a year we get back together with you.
I look forward to this actually all year long. This is a lot of fun.
It's like Christmas, but no one gets presents. It's warm outside.
And nobody
and
here believes in
no
Jesus.
Religious overtones.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like atheist tax time. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Right.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So the topic we decided to talk about today was proselytizing. The idea of sharing, I always considered the idea of sharing your beliefs in a forceful way, I think.
A good way to put it.
The goal is to change someone's mind.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even have to be about religion, which I'm sure we'll get into, but proselytizing is pretty fucking boring.
Well, and Tony and I were talking about it before we even started, what is proselytizing? When are you just saying, all right, look, you have an opinion that I disagree with, and I'm going to offer you an alternative point of view. Is that
right.
Instantly proselytizing?
I think the original definition of proselytizing is to recruit.
Mm. Yeah.
So, that's a very good question. What is proselytizing? Because I think it's part of a spectrum. You were talking about a forceful introduction of ideas over and over
mm-hmm.
to try to change someone's mind.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens if you have the original, I have a different viewpoint, or I have actual science and reasoning against your superstitious sky god.
Right.
What exactly is proselytizing?
Mm.
Because we have a culture in the United States that is so heavily redolent with Christianity.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, purported Christianity.
Sure.
Yeah.
That it's pretty ubiquitous. Hence the word redolent. Wow, I'm actually having coffee this morning. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So just by saying, I'm an atheist, why are you an angry person? Why are you against,
It's automatically antagonistic.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And saying you're an atheist is not proselytizing.
No.
It's simply stating.
It's not.
Self-identifying.
Any more than saying you're a Christian is proselytizing.
Or wearing a cross.
Or saying you're gay is anti-straight in some way.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
Right.
Yeah, I think proselytizing is I find it to be an inherently pejorative word. There's no positive connections for me with someone who's proselytizing, and maybe that's just my interpretation.
Hmm.
But to me, it feels like something you're not wanting, something that you didn't seek out, something someone is doing to you, and therefore may or may not be welcome. But to me, it's a negative thing because it is the that like a word blast, it's someone getting after you.
What's the difference between that and being advertised to or being persuaded by like a sales pitch? Isn't that just essentially like trying to change your mind about how you feel about a product or service to get them to find it favorable? I mean,
well, let's take it. The first time we did this, we wound up talking about the Gay Rights Initiative
mm-hmm.
here in Minnesota. Is advocacy proselytizing?
To some degree, but I don't think that so something can be a negative concept, proselytizing, but have a positive end result. I mean, I think that if you are, there are people that needed to be proselytized to in order to stop raping or murder. I mean, like in jail, they find religion or whatever, or they find, whether it's Islam or Christianity, or they just find some kind of, someone proselytizes to them, you don't have to be like this, and you don't have to live this life, and then they don't.
Because Christians never commit crimes. Yeah,
that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, there are ways, again, someone can I proselytized at people and to people about gay rights. I will fully admit I did it.
Yeah,
and
I
don't think that means that what I did was wrong, but it is, I think, necessarily, it's a it's an unchosen thing.
But what is, I mean, so what is the difference between proselytizing and advocacy then? Because I would say, I mean, did you really proselytize, or were you advocating on someone else's behalf?
Well, then some people think that they're advocating on Jesus' behalf.
Exactly.
So, or on your own behalf. They're advocating on your own behalf.
Gay people are real and in my family. And Right.
Well, I think it has to boil down to, and what Tim and I were talking about before and what we're discussing now is, what are the terms? What exactly are the definitions to you of proselytizing? Because, Molly, your definition is a little bit different than mine, but it does fall within the spectrum of what I think is proselytizing, which is advocating advocating an idea to an audience, whether it be one or 10,000, of something that's different from their core beliefs or core understandings.
Okay.
Is that proselytizing? I don't know as we can come up with an actual definition or an actual agreement on what exactly the definition is.
By that definition, advertising is proselytizing.
Sure, but exactly. So when you hear the word proselytizing, would you ever use that word in a sentence to mean something positive, or would you choose another word and say advocate and say advertise and
I would choose a different word.
So to me, that's why I say proselytizing is a pejorative term.
Yeah. It's definitely something that's inferred.
It is, but you are using it as an implication in that sense, because you're using it to imply, when you say proselytizing, it's because you're implying that you didn't enjoy it. Otherwise, you would say, he was pitching to me his idea. He was trying to sell me on a new vacuum. He was advocating for marijuana legalization.
Most people probably wouldn't self-identify their advocacy as proselytizing.
Unless, of course, speaking from personal experience, and this is why I kind of wanted, you know, we just talked about the meta or the overarching terms down into now. I would like to go into the personal terms. Mm-hmm. The reason I brought this up is because in my family, I was Mennonite, but my sister went Mission Baptist.
Okay.
And my parents, as they've gotten older, have started reverting to some of their more core personality traits, which is fear. Of, once again, religion, which instills fear. I think that's the basis of it. And when people say God is love or Christianity is love, they're like, well, that's an aspect, but ultimately I think it's fear-based.
It is.
They're fearful that I am going to go to hell. My mom's greatest worry, and she brings it up all the time, is she asks me things like, have you seen the truth? Or, hey, read this article. So I started to do reverse, which is she gives me an article, I give her an article. Mm-hmm. You know, and I ask her about this, and she says, well, it breaks my heart. I'm like, well,
sure.
That's fine.
Because she thinks that you're not going to be in heaven with her when she's in heaven with everyone else.
Yes. So proselytization within your own core group, your own personal group, versus the culture at large, we get proselytized to all the time.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that there's still little local laws where they're putting up the Ten Commandments, like in Oklahoma, which is just brilliant. Because then the Satanist group came in and said, we want ours.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, crap, we can't actually say no.
And ours is going to have a horned goat god with children at his feet, like, and being like a loving and caring,
The statue is of Baphomet. It's not, which is funny.
Right,
And then in Florida, you have a city council that was, actually, didn't that case go to the Supreme Court? And they said that, yes, because it's a historic thing to open up a city council meeting with a prayer.
Yeah.
Then they have to allow it. But then
it was a bullshit ruling.
Yeah.
But then a humanist group came in and said, and a humanist person, an atheist person, there's a Muslim down there, and they said, well, we would like to open invocations. And then they said, you can't. Because a city council member has to give agreement. And since they're all Christians, they're actually proselytizing in a city meeting.
Yeah. But they don't see it that way.
Well,
they see it as
status quo to them.
They see it as
Christians, so we get to pray. Because
Otherwise, it's otherwise we're victims, which I just find appalling.
Yeah,
the fact that a majority part of our society, anytime there's any pushback or even questioning, you're victimizing us.
Yeah.
When did this come into play?
Well, I'm tired of this war on Christmas.
Well, it's the idea. I think it really is this idea of, you know, I'm only 36, but I've watched it in the last, 20 years that I've kind of been cognizant of these sorts of more adult issues, is more and more people are like, what I believe, my personal my facts, my personal thoughts, that's sacrosanct. And I am owed that. And anyone trying to come at me and take away what I consider to be the truth is victimizing me. You get it with the men's rights assholes. You get it with the, you get it with the super, super strict feminists who are like crazy rad femmes, like the crazy rad femmes who have the same kind of thing. You get it with the, you get it with people who are anti-homosexual, and I mean, it's always, they're coming for us. They're coming, they're taking our jobs. They're coming, the immigrant children are coming. I mean, it's
the anti-gay movement, which constantly gets all frustrated about, well, you know, it's not fair to do the name calling, to call me a homophobe or a bigot. Yeah. Like, yeah, but that's what you are.
Yeah, those are just words.
It's a word that defines your behavior.
Yeah.
And being so intolerant of my intolerance.
And that's the thing. This idea that we all have to be tolerant of each other. We all have to be respectful of each other's beliefs, which, I'm sorry, is fucking bullshit. No, we don't.
And when their beliefs are wrong, there is that thing. Is it proselytizing or advocacy? One example that I'll use, earlier this year, there was this thing that was going around Facebook that was like, oh my God, the buffalo are leaving
Yellowstone.
Leaving Yellowstone. the Super Bowl. Volcano's going to erupt any day.
Yeah.
It's like you go like a 5 second look on Snopes and you can find something that says, no, this video is actually showing the buffalo going into Yellowstone.
Yeah.
It's not from this week. It's from 2 months ago. There's all sorts of statements on the Yellowstone website that say, no, the bison are not leaving Yellowstone. Yeah. Everything's fine. We are tracking seismic activity. We would know.
Yeah. We don't rely on animal sense to tell us when earthquakes are coming because we have machines now.
So when somebody would post that, I would just immediately just put the Snopes link on their feed to say, no, this is bullshit. And I don't think that's proselytizing. That's saying, look,
that's fact
pay
checking.
Attention. That's fact checking. Your job before you post something like this is to go and look and see, is there anything that runs counter to what I'm about to tell people?
Yeah.
Well, when you talk about conspiracies, they're actually most conspiracy people, the birthers, 9/11ers, anti-vaxxers, they're actually proselytizing.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
They push this stuff all the freaking time. And anytime you rebut it with, facts, actual scientific research, they go crazy.
Yeah. Well, and that's, again, with that whole, you're victimizing me.
Well,
you're attacking me. Why are you attacking my beliefs? Why? And I've had friends on Facebook who I've unfriended on Facebook because they'll say something and I'll say, well, that's actually not right. Even something as fucking mundane as the Facebook Messenger app. The Facebook Messenger app is going to steal all my information and it can turn the camera on anytime and record you while you sleep. And I'm like, that's not even true. Like, here are some articles. Here's some ways around using it. Here's some things to help you. Why are you attacking me for my beliefs? Why are you victimizing me? And
it's the ultimate irony of that is someone posting on Facebook about how the Facebook Messenger app is invading their privacy. You know why Facebook is free? You're the product.
It's
funny.
Getting back to Molly, what you said before about there's this, it's actually an equivalency fallacy.
Mm. Right.
It's a false equivalency your idea is just as valid as mine. We see this on newspapers. The UK.
We need to see all sides.
Yes.
All sides to the story.
UK BBC actually started coming out this year with a memo saying that we're not going to do an equivalency check. If 99% of scientists dealing with our environment as far as climate shift or global warming agree on this set of data, and you have 1% or 2% over here, then you must give them equal airtime.
No.
Now, you can go into the minutia of just because the majority believes something and the minority doesn't, but when it comes to actual data, let's just check that out. But getting back to proselytization and advocacy, the last podcast, you asked a very interesting question about if you don't have a uterus, can you be an advocate for abortion rights?
Right.
And
Or against it. Yeah.
Yes, you can, because we all have the ability to advocate what we believe is right.
Mm-hmm.
And being pro woman as a man, especially in our culture that tends to be patriarchal, that tends to be white, although those demographics are changing, is absolutely endemic upon us as men. You know, when it comes to violence against women, it is absolutely up to us, and I'm proselytizing here because this is one of my personal viewpoints, is that men need to step up with leadership to stop violence against women. Now, it's that simple.
But now here's the other side of that, which is the idea that, you know, so can men then declare that they have a stake in this, and so they can tell you what you can't do with your uterus? And that's where the way they see it is, and that's why I ask the men, you know, on the podcast, is, do you feel like maybe you should, do you personally feel like you should stay out of it for that reason? I don't think that, but I can see how, if I were a man, I could possibly feel that way, because it's like, I don't want them to think I'm telling them what to do, unless what I'm telling them to do is choose what you want to do. And that's, I think, the only answer. I think the trick
is that most men who are pro-life, and I don't know a lot of people who are pro-life. I don't tend to hang out with those kinds of people. And so I am generalizing without any data. Mm-hmm. However, my feeling is most men who are pro-life don't give a fuck what women think about.
Right. No, they don't.
They, you know, to them,
or it's a sacrosanct religious thing to them. It's a binary. It doesn't matter.
Your mind isn't going to be changed, and you're not going to change mine. We just have to disagree on this.
Yeah. So my first step in being pro-choice was to say, I don't have to go through this ever, and therefore, it is wrong of me to tell somebody who might have to go through this that I think they're wrong. Yeah. Because how the fuck would I know?
Well, you know, advocacy pro or against, in this case, abortion rights, ends at the woman's choice.
Right.
Because the advocacy pro-abortion or pro-health services, we're here to help a woman actually get better and equal rights.
Yeah.
And I think that body is autonomy. Now, obviously, this is something I believe in, so I think I have a stronger moral stance on this. But the men in particular who come out against a woman's right to choose, they're actually trying to limit rights of a fellow human being.
Yep. Fewer options.
Fewer options. Yeah. And in fact, restrictive options. Right. Not only fewer, but going out of their way to actually decrease and make things unhealthy. My dad was a Christian gynecologist. Surgeon.
It's a joke.
OBGYN.
It's not, I mean, it sounds like a setup to a joke.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is not a joke. And so I was raised, when my dad would come home, he wouldn't do abortions, but he would absolutely recommend doctors who did. And this is in the 60s and 70s because he had to try to stop women from dying. And it seems like that is completely lost on the arguments here. I'm just appalled at this.
It bothers me that women are going to get abortions. Women have always been getting abortions. Like, literally since women have gotten pregnant, women have been finding ways to get abortions. So to say that they can't is stupid. That's like saying by making drugs illegal, no one will do drugs. Of course they will. They're just making it harder and more dangerous. And so, and this is something, I mean, now we're messing with something that you don't necessarily have a choice in. And I talked to a friend once at a bar, and it surprised me to find out that he was so pro-life and so very anti-abortion. And one of the things I said was, but I can't choose. I mean, I was born a woman. I don't get to choose. And I like men, so I don't get to, I mean, if I want to have sex with my husband, there's a chance I could get pregnant. I don't want kids. I shouldn't have a pregnancy because I could go crazier. And that shouldn't even matter. I don't want to be pregnant. And that should be my choice. And he kind of sat there and he's like, you can't help you were born a woman. I'm like, I literally can't. Like, and it's, I can't help that I'm straight. So how is it fair that I should have to, you know, it's not like I'm fucking any guy I want. Even if I was,
Well, this is where advocacy comes in, where proselytization comes in-ish. It has been proven time and time again that nations that have access to birth control for women, if women can space out their births, they're healthier, they live longer, society as a rule is better, education levels go up.
Crime rates are lower,
and yet time and time again, and you know, I do push back against the pro-life label. Mm-hmm. They're pro-birth.
They're anti-abortion.
They're anti-contraception.
Yeah. Anti-women's health.
Because, you know, they're not here advocating for, you know, we want you to have a kid so that we can have better public school education.
So that
we can have, you know, better food stamp programs so we can feed kids in school. No, they're actively coming out and saying, No, after your kid is born, and this has been a cliche, but it, this cliche has been based in a lot of truth, and I'm advocating this, is they don't really care about the kids after they're born. No,
that's, that, that's the thing with a lot of these causes. It's with pro-life, pro-anti-abortion, whatever. It's like you want abortion to be gone, but what you don't care about is what happens if you achieve your goal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I, my wife and I, we were at the state fair, and we saw the grassroots candidate. And for those of you who don't know, grassroots party, basically their entire, for governor, their entire platform is legalization of marijuana.
Yeah, full legalization.
My thing that I always want to ask him, and I guess I'm just not that, that much of a dick, is I want to say, all right, you've been elected. Let's assume that, that a miracle happens, and you've been elected, and on day one, you managed to convince the legislature to legalize marijuana. Now what are you going to do?
What else do you stand for?
Yeah, and it's the same thing with anti-abortion perspective.
Yeah.
You have now ensured that no woman can ever get an abortion. So there is now an influx of a ton of unwanted children, some of which will be kept by the women who are going to be in, who are most likely low income, and you're going to have a huge growth in low income children who need welfare and stuff like that. And if you are anti-abortion, the likelihood is you're also conservative and you believe that the social safety net is wrong and should be eliminated. So what, and you maybe already have three or four kids, and so you're probably not going to adopt one of these many kids that's going to be placed into the adoption system who may either be adopted or end up in foster care. So what is your solution for the problem that you will create?
Yeah.
I've always thought that there's a cognitive disconnect between being pro-life or anti-abortion and pro-death penalty.
Well,
because if life is sacred,
it's always sacred,
and people can be redeemed and forgiven, why would we ever kill anyone?
Well, so this is my one of my favorite videos was a team went out to some really angry anti-abortion protesters, and they were they had the whole, you know, abortion is murder, you know, you're murderers, calling people baby murderers, the whole deal, and they interviewed them, and they said, so abortion is outlawed. And it is now, and it's illegal, and it's murder. You believe that abortion's murder? Yes. It's let's assume if we make it illegal, what should be done to women who seek abortions and get them? What punishment should they be given? And they all just like literally, they show like six or seven people who all just are like, well, I mean, I guess that that's, I mean, they've been through so much. They shouldn't. It's like, no, but they murdered. I mean, we put murderers in prison for life. Shouldn't they go to prison? And they're like, oh, I mean. And
yeah,
it's like
they do their own platform.
Exactly, it's like so you've made it illegal, and it's murder. And a woman gets an abortion, she should be. I mean, she should be put to death in some states, put in jail forever.
She's
right?
Certainly accomplished.
Have her kids taken away, all, and they're all just like, no. I mean, she's been no. I mean, that's just between her and God. And one woman actually says, I mean, I guess, and you can see in her face, she's like, I don't even know what I stand for anymore. Like, I mean, I just, why am I out
God,
here?
God, then you're pro-choice.
If it's between her and God, why am I out here? And it was, I'll have to link it. It's an amazing video.
So, proselytizing. We're getting...
Yes. Actually, that's, ironically, we were all just proselytizing. Well, so that's,
that is true. We all were, but, and we talked earlier about proselytizing atheism and this idea that, I mean, when there's somebody out there that's really strongly pushing for not just I am an atheist, because, you know, my perspective is I'm an atheist. I believe my voice is valid, and therefore I'm going to say out loud, I'm an atheist.
I'm an atheist. If you want to talk about it, we can talk about it. But
if
I'm
you
not
don't
gonna,
want to talk about it, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
But what about if there's if there are atheists who are going out there and saying, I'm not just going to say I'm an atheist. I want to convince others that they're wrong. So that's proselytizing.
That is.
That's our side.
That's fundamentalism.
Right? That's our side.
I have a problem I have a problem with zealotry.
Zealotry. That's the word I was looking for.
And anyone, you could be, I work, my coworkers, I have coworkers that are Android phone zealots. I have an iPhone. I pull out my iPhone at work, there's literally a guy at work that says, how's Steve Jobs' dick taste? Like, he is an Android zealot. He is incapable of being tolerant of people who have an iPhone.
Or even,
because you suck Steve Jobs' dick or whatever the fuck his stupid problem is. And so people who are intolerant of another opinion or option that doesn't have any fucking impact on them or how they live their lives, is where I start to have a problem with it, I think.
Mm-hmm. I like zealotry because one of the definitions I've always liked of that is the first sign of zealotry is a lack of sense of humor.
Huh. Mm, yeah.
Because, you know, we're pretty strong theists or anti-theists.
Yeah.
And we do have humor about it as well, but it's also, you know, you guys do these podcasts. You've been doing them for years. You just said that you've never missed a week. That is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. Because of your advocacy, because you wish to, in your own way, proselytize the idea of atheism.
Sure.
In a heavily theistic.
Yeah. It's more like society. Atheism. It's more like just atheism existing to me.
And people coming to it as opposed to it going to people. We're not playing it. We're not on a radio. We're not, you know, it's not, we're not
forcing anyone to
dropping off
it.
Tapes.
No one's being subjected to it against their will.
But we absolutely do, I think, have a sense of humor about it when you bring up sense of humor. And I think that is a really, that if you can't, well, I'll use an example of a guy who came up to me yesterday. The Dregs have a song called Satan Planted Dinosaur Bones. Which is making fun of the concept that in order for creationism to be true, somebody had to plant dinosaur
bones.
And
it was Satan.
And it was Satan.
Teach the controversy.
Which I find an inherently ridiculous concept. Mm-hmm. And we sang this song, and there's a guy who likes our music, and he came up afterwards. He was like, I want to tell you how much I love that song. I'm a Christian, and I think people who believe that are idiots. You know, and so there's nothing in that song to me that is you must be an atheist. It's all about Christians who believe this are idiots.
We all believe in fossils, right? That's what that song says. We all agree fossils are a thing.
And at the end of the song, Jeffrey and I usually say, you know, we just want to make it clear this is not an anti-Christian song. It's anti-stupid.
Yeah.
And the thing is that person who came up and talked to us has a sense of humor about his belief. He's not going, hey everybody, I take issue with you poking fun at these Christians that believe this.
Well, and you know, it's a good point, because you can proselytize without it having anything to do with religion as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean obviously the abortion thing kind of has something to do with religion, it just for a lot of people, but so Nick and I are we eat paleo primal. We don't eat grains or sugar or vegetable oils, canola oils. I mean, there's no legumes. It's just what we do. It's working very well for us.
Choice.
But I had to stop following this subreddit on Reddit because of the paleo people who have decided, and they are preaching it, and they are proselytizing it, and they will go to family dinners and tell everyone how they're going to die because they're eating, they're poisoning their bodies with grains and sugar. And it's
garbage
like,
in
that's,
you.
You're literally, that's like the worst thing you could eat. Like, I guess, and it's always this smug, like, I guess I'm just eating a little better. I guess I just care more about my health and I'm just taking care of myself. And then they'll post on these boards and say things like, how can I convince my elderly father that he is poisoning his body with sugar? And it just makes me so sad to see this. My friend feeds her kids, you know, Cheetos, and I just want to cry because those poor kids and their poor lives. And it's
give a shit about the things you can control.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
And it's just, and I, so I don't talk about it. And I have people come up at work and be like, oh, we have donuts in the break room. You should have a donut. Oh, no, thanks. I don't eat donuts. Mm-hmm. Why don't you eat donuts? I don't want one. I'm good. But why don't you just don't eat it? Do you not like them? No, I mean, I like donuts. Everyone likes donuts. They're fine. They're made of sugar and fat. They're delicious. I mean, it's like, oh, they're delicious. Why don't you want one? I'm not eating them right now. I don't know why we have to talk about this. And people will get personally offended that I don't eat rice, or like personally upset that I'm not eating bread. I'm like, but why aren't you have, but bread's good. I'm like, I agree. Bread is good.
You know, I run across that because being raised a Mennonite, they don't do proselytization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's quite a lot of Christian sects out there that don't.
Mm-hmm.
They want to, a lot of the Mennonites showed their faith through actions.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would go out. I was part of, they have this thing called voluntary service.
Mm-hmm.
So for a year to two, they'll go out and they'll live in group homes, and they will teach, they will work in hospitals, mm-hmm. they will work in social services.
Doing good work.
Show by doing.
Yeah.
Or do by showing, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, paleo is the big thing right now. When I was growing up, vegetarianism was starting, and man, did you not want to sit next to a vegetarian?
Because
they were so hardcore proselytizing all the time. It's like, oh, you know, same thing, same arguments. And then
more moral than you, better than you.
Then the vegans came out and just wanted to smack them. But now that's kind of settled down, so you actually have well-balanced social
There's still some
vegans. They're still out there. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
In my, like, punk you know, 20s and whatnot, there's a lot of like crusty vegan punks who are preachy as fuck.
Well, you know, so basically I think it gets down to proselytization is, yeah. I'm starting to come around to your way of thinking a little bit, Tim, which is an aggressive advocacy on people that get a little tired of hearing it after the first time. It's like one and done, kind of like when you poke trolls on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, one and done, watch them blow up, walk away, like an explosion in an action film.
Yeah.
So, you ready to get to the five questions?
Yeah, we should probably get to the five. And I think you brought five questions for us. Is that how
this works? I told Molly that I would make them up and that I'd be here.
He said, I got questions.
I got questions.
All right.
So, money and skill being no object, what one job would you wish to do in this life?
Money and skill being no object.
Money and skill being no object. Well, you know,
being no object is
I want to make furniture.
Nice.
Or clothes. Mm-hmm. One of those two, either seamstress or carpenter.
An engineer or inventor of creating things, making things, I think.
Mm-hmm. What I want to do is I want to write, which, you know, I'm doing now, but I'm not making any money at it. But if I could make money
also, don't have any skill. No, I'm just kidding. It was right there, Tim.
I have a sense of humor about that.
Exactly. Also, it's because that's the thing. He knows he's a good writer, so that's why it's funny.
Tim, I just want to advocate to you how unskilled you are.
But no, I mean, we just finished the Fringe Festival, and I wrote Top Gun the Musical, which was very successful, and it was just funny. Like, it's really, I love doing that. I love the process of sitting down and writing shit and having people, you know, watch it or listen to it or read it, and so, yeah, that's what I would do if I could not have to do something else to make money, if that's what I could do to make money. That's what I do.
I say this, I love doing what I do. This is the single best thing I have ever done in my life. It has stretched me more than anything else. But having said that, I have always wanted to be an astronaut.
Wow, that would be fucking awesome too.
And I was really going that way until I got glasses in third grade. So in third grade, my dream was shattered.
I was going that way until the Challenger exploded. I know, I mean, I'm not kidding. I wanted to be an astronaut, and then the Challenger exploded. So then I was like, no, I'm good.
No, in third grade, I wasn't too tall.
You never would have been able to be one as an adult because of your height requirements. Exactly.
And also, when I was growing up in the 60s, you had to go through the military. And you had to be a pilot.
Yep.
With 20/20 vision or better.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what kind of...
Yeah.
Okay. Second question. If you had to eat, because you guys like food, if you had to eat one specific ethnicity of food for the rest of your life...
Ooh.
What would you choose?
Assuming I'm not on paleo or anything, there's no restrictions on what I eat.
No restrictions on what you eat. Except long pig. I'm really not into that.
It's bad for you.
Not if you cook it.
I'm not Felton.
Not if you cook it long enough.
I guess I really like Indian food. So I think I'm going to, I mean, there are a lot of kinds of, this would be a very difficult thing to have to, actually I change, Greek. I really like Greek food.
Greeks are
and
cute.
I could live on Greek food really easily for the rest of my life if I had to. So I'm going to say Greek food.
Mm-hmm. I would say like Cuban, but like
paella and stuff.
Yeah, and that's Spanish. Maybe Spanish cuisine specifically because I like the coastal, like somewhat Mediterranean. I like the Latino influence and those spices and flavors. I like saffron. I mean, I like spice and heat, but I also do enjoy like seafood and fishes and things. I think that'd give you a good balance of stuff.
I don't know. I think I could probably live on like soba and sushi and sashimi.
Japanese food, shit.
And eat rice balls in the morning. And
I could live on Japanese food. I could
live on
so there's a lot of weird salted squid stuff.
Well, I don't have a problem with a lot of that. I'm super, super picky about seafood.
Yeah, you are.
But I like it if it's good. I don't like to eat like shitty lobster.
And the Japanese do pretty good seafood because, you know, nation.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So as long as it's like fresh and abundant and high quality and well made, I would eat Japanese food, no problem. Yeah. And then whenever I wanted shitty broke ass food, I would eat like, you know, soba or ramen udon. Or something like that. Yeah, udon.
Cool. I'd go with Vietnamese.
That's a good.
A lot of fresh vegetables. Yeah. Really good meats. They also have a French
influence. I was going to say, banh mi.
Has a nice broad range.
There's a lot of pork.
I miss
in,
banh mi.
In some of their cuisine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you don't have to eat the pork.
I know, but there's very little traditional Japanese food that's pork except for putting slices on ramen.
Sure.
That's pretty much like the only
it's
time it really shows
no
up.
To keep them.
Exactly. They don't have the land to support that. Okay. I wouldn't eat gyunu. I wouldn't no steak, no cow, mm-hmm. no.
Well, what's nice is in America.
Well, there's Kobe
you
beef.
Can choose. Yeah. Well,
that's Japanese.
Kobe, it is Japanese, but it's not exported.
Right,
anything they call Kobe is not actual Kobe because it's a very specific thing. Third question is, if you could pass a law in regards of atheism in our society, what law would you pass?
Oh, man. I mean, I feel like the laws that I want there already exist. I just want them enforced.
Okay.
But I guess I would, if I could have something happen that isn't happening,
yes,
I would have churches taxed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
There are a couple of reasons for that. One, because I believe no matter how much they pretend, I think most churches do politically advocate. Most churches do turn a profit, and they take up so much fucking free land.
Yeah.
And it just, it's not that I think there's anything wrong with a church existing, but you know, you read about these mega churches that make millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Yes.
You know, weekly.
And it's not going to charity strictly. It's going to bolster themselves.
Charitable work.
Yeah, you're looking at these pastors who are living in these beautiful homes and driving multiple expensive cars, and you're like, you know what? There are better uses for that.
Wow.
If the Pope really cared about poor people, he'd sell his mansion of gold.
I know what I would pick. I would have a law establishing the United States as officially, publicly, an a-religious nation.
Secular.
Our nation is secular, period, full stop, end of sentence. Individuals are allowed to make whatever religious choices they want for themselves, but I would love the United States just officially establishing it as a secular nation rather than just having, we have a separation of church and state.
Freedom from.
And freedom from rather than freedom
of
religion. And I would, that would be it all the way.
I would get rid of In God We Trust.
Sure.
I would go back to E Pluribus Unum. Of many one.
I would make it that you cannot discuss your religion when you are campaigning, or if you are going to be in politics.
Oh,
if you are going to be in politics, well, it can't be a selling point for you because it doesn't. That shouldn't matter. And it's. I know. It's a hard one. But
God from politics.
That's more of a better way to put it. I want God out of politics. I want religion out of politics. I want it to be that if you're campaigning, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. That shit doesn't get talked about. You can say it. How about that? It's like, what are you? I'm a Christian, but that's as far as it goes. We don't go into like why.
Molly, I think you brought up something that would be a whole program unto itself.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know. How about that instead? How about this? Just no more laws preventing atheists from being in office, since there's still 16 states where it's illegal.
Yeah.
Which is
that.
Which is unconstitutional, but they should be gone.
Yeah.
Well, they're
they're
just untried because who's going to run? I mean.
All right. Did everyone answer that one?
Yes. I think so.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Fourth question. If you could have any extra part of your body added, what would you add?
Like additional, like more arms or something like that?
More arms, a tail, wings, anything you want.
Well, see, you brought up wings, and that would be, pretty fucking awesome to have wings.
What kind?
I think the kind that would actually work, I guess. You know, bat wings probably wouldn't work very well.
If they're big enough and your bones were hollow enough.
Yeah, there's that.
Sci-fi geeks.
They'd have to be huge.
Oh, yeah.
If you're gonna actually be able to use them to fly, they'd have to be pretty big. We're talking, probably eagle style wings, but human sized.
Peruvian condor,
I know I would look like a freak, but that's not the point. The point is I could fucking fly.
Oh, as opposed to what? Now?
Well, yeah.
You just have wings.
Yeah, I'd have wings.
I don't know.
I love you, man.
I don't know if I'd be adding things as much as I would be fixing mistakes that evolutionary you know, mistakes that exist, like nerves in the wrong places, or the fact that our spines aren't perfectly able to carry us upright without back problems and things like that. I think I would just, like, take the human form and improve it to a greater degree and make it be a better human.
So you would intelligently design it?
I would. I would hack my body is what I would do. 2 feet, 2 arms, legs, 2 eyes, all that. But, like, I don't know. Maybe everything's double jointed now and my spine is better able to do what it does.
To be upright.
Yeah.
To support your bodily integrity.
Right.
In all the years I've asked this question, you are the very first man who, anyone, male or female, who's ever answered it that way. That is a brilliant idea.
Thank you.
I like that quite a bit. Yeah. I would redesign the knee right off the bat.
I think eating and drinking through the same tube that we take in air is a mistake.
Well, I might push back on this because the majority of our taste comes through the sense of smell.
Okay.
So moving taste, as long as you keep your nose, I think that'd be
sure.
great. But if you still keep the same taste organs, you know, eating through your armpit is just not as aesthetically pleasing.
I know we don't want, like, another orifice because that is another avenue for infection and outside whatever. But at the same time, like, something separate for air, like a blowhole. I mean, essentially.
Well, I would like amphibious abilities.
Oh,
I would just like
gills?
Not necessarily gills, or unless I can have gills and lungs. I want to be able to be underwater for as long as I want, or at least, like, in the sense of, like, sea turtles, where I can come up and be like, and then go back down and I'm cool for a while. I think that would be really helpful in a lot of situations.
Yeah.
I've always wanted a second set of arms, like the Martians in Edward's Burrows, just a longer torso, extra set of arms. That would be great.
Like Vishnu?
Yes.
But not that many?
Not that many, no.
Same arms or, like, smaller, delicate work arms?
No. Same arms, because I'm fairly dexterous when I've had coffee. So the last question, and what I'm one thing to. Would you want to remove from the human experience or change? For me, for instance, I would like to remove fear of the other. Because I think that's a basis of a lot of our issues that we have in society, and, you know, it engenders wars, engenders conflict, and classes.
But at the same time, it's why we're the dominant species in the planet. We're pattern recognition and noticing what's different and paying attention to that, because that's where the danger comes from.
But there's a difference between
I didn't say recognition
fear.
Of the other.
Okay.
I said fear
All right.
of
All right.
the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yes, that is that. We go down to the false positive versus false negative evolutionary
sure.
trait. Wow, that sounded really good. But I absolutely we need to keep that, but not the fear of the other.
This would be very difficult, but I would like to I would love to remove the need for money from our experience, to the point that you could do what you wanted without having to worry about how you're going to afford it. And the other thing that does is it takes away the amount of control that wealth has over all of us.
Socialist.
You know, we talk about how, you know, there's inherent privilege in being a white male, there's inherent privilege in being white versus black, all these things, but we all know that the greatest privilege within any society is money.
In our society.
In,
I don't know about other
in America.
Societies. It's hard to, I don't know but, if I...
In any culture that I can think of, or government across this world as it is today,
yeah.
It is the distribution of wealth.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so, getting rid of wealth, getting rid of a monetary basis...
Getting rid of the necessity for money.
The concept.
And I recognize all the issues
sure,
that, go
yeah.
in, that go into
but
that.
We're doing pie in the sky. Yeah.
Can I ask the question one more time? I just want to get the phrasing right.
What one thing in the human experience would you change?
Psychosis. I would remove psychosis, because I think that a lot of the problems and crime that we have, and a lot of the abuse that we suffer, are at the hands of people who are psychotic and who are having mental breaks. And it was a terrifying experience, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody. And I think that there'd be a lot less rape and murder and child abuse and
addiction
and just all the things that are negative. I think a lot of them come from psychosis.
That's a good answer too.
Nothing positive comes from psychosis.
I got an answer. It's the driving need, or like the evolutionary desire to procreate.
Ah. Nice. I think it'll happen anyway.
It'll happen anyway. I mean, I'm not saying makes sex less desirable or less enjoyable, but I think that if people didn't feel like they need to have kids or feel the societal pressure, they have to pass on their line, if we removed all the societal pressure of having children or even the expectation that that's the norm is just, oh, of course you're going to have kids because that's what one does. Mm-hmm. I think if we got rid of all of that, people would be living more within their means. People would be happier and there'd be more happy. The children that exist would be have better childhoods.
Cared for.
Better loved and better cared for. I agree. If people having kids was always a deliberate choice, or a happy accident, I mean, we wouldn't need abortion necessarily, you know?
Nice full circle.
Money that would be saved on IVF and things like that.
Yeah, for sure.
All of the things people put themselves through to have, there wouldn't be all of these instances of like sex and octuplets where people are having fertility drugs
or people that do want to have kids would probably be less concerned about those kids being like genetically their children and more open towards adoption and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So even if there were kids out there that needed parents, the people who want kids would be less concerned with, you know, my boy, my son, like that sort of thing.
My genetics.
It's bullshit. I mean, nurture that shit into them. You don't need to nature that shit into them. I don't know.
I would like to put something on the table. By the way, you guys, wonderful answers.
Thank you. Good questions.
This has been a lot of fun. Going forward, you had mentioned something earlier about proselytizing is inflicting views on people who don't necessarily want to hear it. It is very easy for a platform such as this to become an echo chamber.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there's a balance that needs to be put. I have a lot of friends who aren't atheist, who are, on my Facebook feed, I don't know if I've ever said this, there are some people on this, and if they take offense, so be it. I keep them on my Facebook feed because they're the canaries in the batshit crazy minds.
Yes.
They stalk chemtrails over here for the crystal twits, or Obama's non-American Muslim. And they pop up on the feed.
I like the term crystal twiddle.
Yeah, that's gorgeous.
That's out of the New Age movement, out of the 70s, in response against that. But those ideas pop up, and they start to filter down towards mainstream, and now I know where they come from. I can see evolution of where they come from.
It's memetics.
It is.
Yeah.
And I would love to... I love discussions here, but I do encourage not only you guys, but also people listening to this, to go out and talk to people who have almost completely opposite ideas. And yes, we're surrounded by that in our society. But the more you do that, the more you have to go through your own valid viewpoints and say, are they valid? Do we change? And I know you guys do that. Mm-hmm. But I just want to say, going forward, and you're not that I am aware of, but don't become an echo chamber. Like I've seen some... And not, it's not just atheist groups, but
I've seen friends of mine on Facebook that I have actually said, if you want to live in an echo chamber, that's fine. Go ahead and unfriend me then. And they do. Yeah. And it's like, I mean, it usually ends up being more personal drama stuff. Like I was saying earlier, you're victimizing me. Quit telling me that, you know, why are you jumping down my throat? Like, no one's jumping down your throat, but you're saying something that doesn't make sense. And someone's going to try to tell you about it.
I have a lot of people in my feed who I don't agree with at all. And I leave them on there just because I like to see what they have to say.
I agree.
And because sometimes they're right. You know, every now and again, you find something and you're like, oh, I was wrong about that. Thank you for showing that to me.
Your ideas should never go unchallenged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if they're good ideas and they're strong ideas, they'll survive.
There's a difference between proselytizing and defending.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you put your ideas out there, you need to be prepared to defend them. You need to be prepared to support your perspective, and you need to be prepared to change your perspective if somebody gives you information that runs counter to the information you believed was correct.
Absolutely.
Oh, reasoning. Guys, thank you very much. We got to get
thanks.
Going.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Tony. We really appreciate having you back once a year.
Yeah. So, yeah. Looking forward to it. All right.
Everybody, bye.
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 If you'd like to know more about anything you've heard in this show, we'd be happy to leave some brochures with you for later.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize. recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
By the way, this is the post thing. I forgot to say anything about going and following us on Twitter and Facebook and writing us on iTunes and shit like that.